When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Per game. And he was an all-star that year. He averaged about 7 rebounds a game. He was dynamic. Last year, he played 70 games, 31 minutes a game, 22 points a game, close to 23 points. Another terrific rebounding season, about 6 rebounds per game. I mean, when he is healthy, he is dynamic. Unfortunately, he does have that when he is healthy designation attached to him. But another reason why I'd be going in on Zion here, if you're Joe Lacob, and you're looking at, because Joe Lacob, again, he was on with our friend Tim Kawakami, the TK Show, Odyssey Sports Podcast. Check it out on 95.7 The Game's YouTube page and on the free Odyssey app. Huge. But Joe Lacob was talking, I believe we have the sound. I don't know if it's on, if we put it on the board, Spadoni. But
I deleted that one. No, there's always so much space on the board, to be honest.
I'll do a paraphrase here. I'm going to sit here and do a paraphrase job of what Joe Lacob said. And that's basically, you know, Steph's got a window, but Joe Lacob's got a window too. You know, he's 68 years old. As far as I know, he's not getting any younger, though. I mean, he's rich enough. I'm sure he could probably afford it. But Joe Lacob wants to win too. And he is going to be, Joe Lacob will be with the Warriors, as, you know, being that he's the owner, after Steph Curry leaves. And the winning, if you're Joe Lacob, the winning is not going to stop when Steph retires or leaves, whichever way you want to put it.
I think a lot of fans feel that way.
Well, no, if you're Joe Lacob, your mentality is the winning cannot stop. So if you look at a guy like Zion Williamson, who is 24 years old right now, has all the talent in the world to be a franchise centerpiece, what better way to not only find a potential 1B for Stephen Curry, but also set yourself up with a franchise centerpiece for the next, 10 years, after Steph, is no longer on the Warriors. So, yes, the health, it's a concern. There are so many upsides, though, in terms of what he could do for this team on the court and what he could do for this team beyond this season that, you know what? You're the Warriors. You're one of the best-run organizations in North American professional sports. You have untold resources. You have been able to, you had a guy in Klay Thompson have a horrific knee injury and then have a horrific Achilles injury, and you rehabbed him to a point where he was able to help this team win an NBA championship. So I believe that the Warriors, they have the ability to, they're going to have to get Zion healthy. That will not be, easy, but
Six games this year, by the way. Zion's played six games. Been out since early November. Real quick, Sam, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HG1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app. CC Sabathia, Cy Young winner, World Series champion, the pride of Vallejo, joining us in 20 minutes. Yes, the hot stove is hot. A lot has happened with the Giants, with the Mets, with his Yankees. I want to dive into that. Brian in Palo Alto, I see you on hold.
Oh, there
he is. We'll get to him in just a second. Finish your thoughts, Sam Lubman, in regards to Zion Williamson.
Well, that's just basically I'm playing a little hopefulness here in terms of the Warriors' ability to get Zion healthy. That is obviously the X factor here. But if you're talking, if you could save Kuminga and still get Zion, that would be awesome. But, the deal I saw Bobby Marks propose over the weekend was Andrew Wiggins, Kevon Looney, and Brandon Pajemski. In a trade. That's what he was just kicking ideas around. I would love to hold on to Kevon Looney as well, because I think he's him and Zion as your centers. I think that's a great combo there as well. But, if it's Wiggins, Kuminga, Pajemski, that would be tough. But if the Warriors can figure out a way, it's Wiggins, Pods, and someone else, to in that first round draft pick.
I think you're undervaluing Andrew Wiggins in that scenario. I am not. Andrew Wiggins is my second best player right now, and I know he's going to be available.
I mean, but if you want to get a guy like Zion to make the money match, you have to include Wiggins.
And that's why I'm not doing it. Yeah.
If you're the Pelicans, obviously you're going to want some back in return. It's the NBA. You know, that's. I mean, does Andrew Wiggins, is that? I guess if they're both are healthy, is Andrew Wiggins a better?
Who was the second best player on the Warriors when they won their last championship?
They won their last championship. Yeah, it was probably a mix of Clay or Wiggins.
It was Andrew Wiggins. He was the better defender. He was the better offensive player. They need him, and they need his durability, and he's been very durable throughout most of his Warriors tenure. Real quick, he's been waiting
when
on
he's
hold.
Been available.
When this guy's on hold, we got to get to him. I mean, that's our guy. It's Brian and Palo Alto joining us courtesy of the River Islands guest line.
Doobie Award nominee, Brian and Palo Alto?
He certainly is. What's going on, Brian? You're on with Spadoni and Lubman. I know you're missing Bonte, though, this morning.
Yeah. No. good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
I think I love getting to stuff you were talking about earlier. I love the Schroeder edition. I think, Steph, you got to have a good point of attack defender with Steph in the backcourt. That's what you had with Melton. That's what you once had with Clay. Obviously not in recent years with Clay. And if you don't have a good defensive guard paired with him, it's too much for him, I think. So I'd love, for that alone, I'd love the move. And then you add the offense to it. And you basically pods-proof the lineup and the rotation at this point. Who's,
pods-proof.
Like, no joke, one of the worst players in the NBA right now. Like, one of the worst players in the NBA.
Untradeable, though, Brian, in the offseason. Untradeable.
Probably. He may be untradeable. It's true.
It's a different kind of untradeable, maybe.
For Zion, I would trade for Zion, and I would leverage Kuminga. So, for me, I look at Kuminga and Purdy as similar. I would love to have him back. I'm not paying Kuminga $45 million a year under any circumstance, and I'm not paying Purdy $60 million a year at any circumstance. And if that's the state of play that's required, then I'm out. So move Kuminga to get Zion. I mean, who would you rather have, Kuminga at $45 million a year or Zion with 3 years left on his deal at, what, 20-something? A year, that's not even close. I'd rather have Zion.
The thing that would give me pause, though, Brian, not to cut you off, Kuminga has been pretty durable through his whole career so far. Zion, the guy hasn't played since early November. He's played 6 games. Thanks, Brian. It's Brian Palo Alto. He's gone. 888-957-9570. The durability is a question. Very scared if I'm making that trade. You say it's low risk. Well, what if he just doesn't play? You just dumped Wiggins for nothing, so that's where I'm at with that.
Really quick, Spadoni, just got a little bit of breaking news on the 49ers for Adam Schefter. Rizzo, if you could, please.
5-7 the game, breaking news.
So, after losing Chris McCaffrey, Jordan Mason, Elijah Mitchell, season-ending injuries, and now looks like the 49ers will be without running back Isaac Garendo for Sunday's game against Miami. Patrick Taylor Jr., man, next man up. You're RB1 on Sunday. So 49ers going to be without their current running back one this Sunday against Miami Dolphins, as if things could not get more frustrating.
The hits
for the 49ers.
The hits keep on coming. They don't stop coming. Man, brutal. That sucks. This season has just been a season from hell in so many different ways for the 49ers.
Like I said, it's quicksand, man. The more you struggle, and you know who this
more
hurts.
Like a Sarlacc pit, to
you
be
know
honest.
Who this
and
hurts.
They're getting eaten slowly digested of a season.
Over a
and the fans are the ones that are getting eaten right now.
And there will be no Boba Fett emergence from the sand like he was able to. And you know who this really hurts the most, though, Spadoni?
Your fantasy team?
It's your boy who is in the fight of his life this week. I need to beat our co-producer, Chris O'Connell, to avoid the dubious, as we talked about the Doobie Awards, distinction of finishing dead last in the 95-7 the game league. So that's my RB1 that now I gotta go replace. So no one is hurting more this morning than one Sam Lubman.
Sam Lubman's the only one that's concerned with the consolation playoff bracket situation. Doesn't matter. I finished last year. We don't have any, you know, this is the 95-7 the game league, for those of you who care, all two of you, we don't have any punishment for the last place.
Just the shame.
Although we should probably think about
that. You gotta live with
the
shame.
We should probably think about that.
Well, yeah, but starting for next year, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can't enforce it this year.
888-957-9570. We got CC Sabathia joining us here in about 12 minutes, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Cannot wait to talk to CC. There's a lot been happening around baseball, a lot happening with his former team, the Yankees, who he won a World Series with. A lot, you know, happening with the Giants, and a guy that was a Brewer, and obviously CeCe Sabathia, very well-known in Milwaukee, won a Cy Young there, right? Not with Cleveland, with Milwaukee, won a Cy Young, correct? Thumbs up there from Steven Rizzotto, our guy producing in the back. Have his thoughts on Willy Adames and his signing. I'm sure he's, you know, he's talked to Willy in the past there. Willy obviously coming up with the Brewers organization as a better player. It was Adames with the Rays, then the Brewers, correct? There we go. Thumbs up there. So I want to get to know Willy Adames as well and his thoughts on that. And his thoughts on the Juan Soto spurning his Yankees for the Mets? What?
It's a Mets town now? Yeah, I mean, CeCe Sabathia made that a Yankee
town. You're a Met all the way.
He was the big hoss, so to speak, the last time the Yankees hoisted the commissioner's trophy. But Spadoni, we're burying the lead when it comes to CeCe.
Pickleball?
Well, there's pickleball, too. I guess there's two leads that I'm burying here because he is a big pickle guy. He'll be talking about the celebrity pickleball bash that is going to be happening Saturday, February 15th and Sunday, February 16th at the iconic Warfield Theater here in San Francisco. No, the other lead that I'm burying is, I am curious, Spadoni, you being a Raider fan, him being a Raider fan, curious where CeCe Sabathia is on the Shadur versus Cam Ward debate when it comes to the Raiders' future. Come on, I know as a Raider fan, that is absolutely on your mind.
Well, if you're a true Raider fan, you know what's going to happen. They're going to beat Jacksonville to fall from number one overall pick to number seven. They're not going to get anyone. They'll retain Antonio Pierce because he wins his last three games, so you're stuck with him. You're going to sign Sam Darnold to a fat contract. You're going to get some offensive coordinator who stinks, and they're going to be bad. That's what the Raiders do. They bring heartbreak and misery to me, to all their fans, forever.
See, I'm curious if he's as broken about the Raiders as you are.
Of course he is. He's from Vallejo. He grew up a Raider fan.
He's also a big Warrior fan. What does he think of Dennis Schroeder? Would he trade Andrew Wiggins for Zion Williams? There's so many things we can ask CeCe Sabathia on the other side after, of course, we talk about the celebrity pickleball bash coming to San Francisco's iconic Warfield Theater February 15th and 16th of next
year. Local celebrities there, Sam Lubman, include Brandi Chastain, Chris Mullin, Hunter Pence, T.O., Terrell Owens, baby.
We've had almost all that. We just got to get Brandi Chastain now on the station. We can have the full complement of pickleball legends.
Hey, I can talk some soccer right now. She wants to talk about some...
Actually, a couple of quick story before we hit the break there. I had a night at a Giants game a few years ago. I was sitting behind home plate with a friend of mine, and who sits next to me? One, Brandi Chastain. Got to watch the Diamondbacks drop 17 on the Giants with Brandi Chastain.
Christian Walker probably hit a bomb ski in that one. Could the Giants sign Christian Walker? He's still out there. They're getting dangled out there.
Nice transition there.
Not a bad first base option. Let's ask CeCe Sabathia coming up here. World Series champion, Cy Young winner, the pride of Vallejo, CeCe Sabathia, coming up next. And that's all going to be brought to you by the California Lottery.
This is Fillmore Mike, and the Doobie Awards are this Friday at Laughing Monk Brewery in Sunnyvale from 6 to 10. I will be there. You better be there, too. Now, back to the morning roast with Bonte and Shasky. Shasky, stop hating on Tony from Oakland.
Tony from Oakland, she'll be making an appearance, that's for
sure.
She's
up for a lot of awards.
She is. That's Fillmore Michael, as we're calling him there, with that illustrious rejoin. We appreciate you, Fillmo. Spadoni and Lubman in for Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky. We got one more segment here before handing it off to Steiny and Guru at the top of the hour, but we got CeCe Sabathia, World Series champion, Cy Young winner, joining us here shortly. Talk some pickleball, talk some Giants, talk some, you know, baseball in general and some other stuff. Apparently he's a big Halloween guy, so we can get into that as well.
I wonder what he was for Halloween this
year. Is he a big Christmas guy? That's my question, because I'm a big Christmas guy, Sam Lum. Christmas is the best holiday. People
Merry
like to
Christmas,
say it's over.
I gotta go.
Thank you. Yeah, Merry Christmas to you as well.
What is your Christmas routine then, since you're such a big Christmas guy? Because you're going to be out on Christmas Eve, the 24th, hence why myself and Jake Hutchinson and the greatest hair show in radio will be hosting that morning. Wow. But you being such a big Christmas guy, this is basically like your Super Bowl.
It's huge.
So what's the Joe Spadoni Christmas game plan?
Traditionally, when it's the Spadoni Christmas, my dad makes some cioppino. If you're not familiar, it's an Italian fish stew. So you got your scallops, you got your crab, you got your mussels, you got your clams. You got it all in there. This nice tomato broth. You got some
whole oceans in there.
Yeah, it's the best. You got to let that simmer and stew for a while. Then you get, you know, some nice bread. You dip it in there. It's delicious. So that's what we do. We get all the family and the cousins together. We do a little cousin gift exchange. So all my nieces and nephews, and I have like, what, 14, 15 of them now? I'm one of 10, for those of you who don't know. I have 9 brothers and sisters. It's a lot.
I feel so bad for your Christmas sisters and 6 brothers.
Yeah, it was a lot. But you know what? I'll say this, and I love my parents because you know what? I'd say we were middle class for the most part, but we would always get the one gift that we always wanted, we always got.
Oh, so that's awesome.
That's all you can lean on. Maybe not been the most presents some other kids get, but I always got the one. If it was, and it's, this is smart by my parents, by the way, too. You know what they would do? Oh, there's a new Xbox, there's a new PlayStation. Let's buy that, because we'll buy the 4 controllers, and all the sons could just do their own thing. Leave me the hell alone.
There you
let's
go.
Get the console. Let's get Halo.
It's as much a gift for mom and dad as it is
correct.
For them.
Correct. So they knew what they were doing there. So whatever new console came out, we would get that. So yeah, big Christmas guy. What about you, Sam Lum? What are your, some of your traditions?
First, I mean, the Christmas movie we always watch is Christmas Vacation, the National Lampoon's with Chevy Chase.
I'm a Santa Claus guy,
too. Big fan. That's another legendary one, too. Elf is another movie I like to watch on Christmas. But no, Christmas Eve is usually pretty chill. You know, go to bed, obviously, because Santa's on his way. But Christmas morning, for me, there's going to be a lot of driving on Christmas morning. You know, I got to go to my dad's place. I got to go to my mom's place. Got to go to Allie's place. So I'm one of those travelers on Christmas. So that's my Christmas tradition. But it used to be we go to my grandparents' house. We do Christmas there. My great uncle would make his pancakes. We just had to have a nice little family Christmas situation there. It's a little bit different this year. Obviously with the passing of my grandfather, so we're switching things up a little bit, but we still expect a very merry and festive couple of days through the Christmas days here.
I expect a merry and festive interview coming up shortly here with one CC Sabathia, who is going to be taking a part with a celebrity pickleball bash, Sam Lubman. Yes, the celebrity pickleball bash in San Francisco is going to be taking place Saturday, February 15th, and Sunday, February 16th, at the iconic Warfield Theater. Some of the local celebrities include Brandi Chastain, Chris Mullin, Hunter Pence, Terrell Owens, who I guess CC has been doing a lot of trash talking, one TO, to you. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Good. How you guys doing?
Oh, I can't complain,
doing
man.
Very good today.
I'm talking to you, CC Sabathia.
One of the true aces of baseball,
man. 251 wins, 3,000 strikeouts, 6-time All-Star, Cy Young Award winner, World Series freaking champion, and most importantly, CC, the pride of Vallejo, Valley Joe, baby. It's Mac Dre and CC, as far as I'm concerned, and E40. That's the top three for me. Actually,
that's a pretty good trifecta right there.
Jeff Gordon as well.
Right.
Don't sleep on Jeff Gordon as well.
Quad factor.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah, man.
A lot of talent up there. You got her, you got LaRussell now, Nabby Coughlin. Vallejo's a special place.
Let's go, absolutely. Hey, can you tell us about this celebrity pickleball bash? Why are you part of it? What are you guys doing? And pickleball in general, what made you get started in this? Because I'm seeing pickleball courts and equipment. It's like the fastest growing sport in America.
It really is. I mean, it's something that I picked up in my retirement, and you know, just kind of being a country club guy now, you know, where it's golf and pickleball. So, when I heard about the celebrity bash, being, home in the Bay Area, and like you said, anytime you get T.O. involved, it's going to be a lot of fun. Anthony Anderson, Jalen Brunson, so I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And T.O.'s super competitive. He's already talking a lot of trash. We know he's probably in the best shape of – he could probably still play in the NFL right now. So, we'll see how it goes. As my knees are bad, but I can still move around the pickleball court pretty good. So I got a lot of reach. So we'll see what happens.
For sure. No, between all the injuries the 49ers are sustaining right now, they might need you, CC and T.O., to go out there and play maybe some tight end for them alongside George Kittle. CC Sabathia joining us here on the River Islands Guest Line. As all guests appear on the River Islands Guest Line, isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? And CC, I really want to ask you this, and we'll get to, some of the biggest stories in the offseason when it comes to the hot stove and stuff like that, but specifically here with the San Francisco Giants and being from the Bay Area, did you ever feel that there was a perception when it came to players and whether or not they wanted to sign here, whether it was with the Giants, whether it was with the A's, that the Bay Area as a place to live and as a market, did you feel like it was an enticing place for some players that were heading into free agency to come and, test out, do I want to play in San Francisco? Do I want to play with the A's? Do I see myself being a face of this, of Bay Area? Did you feel like there was some apprehension from a lot of players? Because it's a big thing here now that the Giants finally landed a guy in Willy Adames, maybe not to the likes of a Juan Soto, but Buster Posey coming in and kind of trying to – how do I say this, kind of retooling and putting a new face on the Bay Area as a place to come for free agents.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it was always a place. I mean, the, you know, the year I became a free agent, you know, they had just signed Barry Zito over there. So, you know, I think for pitchers, it's always a destination because that park is so big. You know what I'm saying? I think it's always harder to attract hitters to places where people, you know, perceive the park to be, you know, a graveyard or somewhere to be a pitcher's park. So I think that's probably been the biggest problem is just, you know, trying to attract, you know, front line, you know, middle of the lineup guys. But, you, I mean, you could always, you know, always get pitching there and develop hitters. And, you know, I mean, it worked for him in the, you know, in the 2010. So, you know, Buster has the formula. He knows the formula. He played there and, you know, understands the market. So I think they're on the right track.
Yeah, CC, you say the Giants are on the right track, obviously, about adding, they just added Willy Adames there. And obviously, right off the bat, that kind of sort of starts to change the perception. Once you get one guy, others, you know, will kind of follow behind him there. But do you think that's kind of a case where you see a guy like Adames sign? Oh, well, maybe we should sign there as well. Like other people do. Like, do you think that is kind of a situation where guys see a guy like Adames sign, so they want to follow in suit? And then when you look at the Giants right now, just from a hole on the outside looking in, with Adames on board, where do you kind of see them right now fitting in with the rest of the NL West? You know, with the understanding there's still a lot of off season left to go right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of off season left to go. I mean, I think you have to, you know, take into account they lost Blake Snell. That's going to be a huge, you know, blow to that rotation. Still got Logan Webb there. You know, adding Willie a beat is huge. I mean, I think that's going to be big. You know, obviously, you know, the Dodgers and the Padres are still playing out there out west. And, you know, Arizona made a big push 2 years ago going to the World Series. So, you know, it's very competitive out there. You know, but like I said, I mean, these guys are on the right track. Hiring Buster, I think, is something that, you know, is definitely going to help the organization and, you know, get back to where, you know, they're up there competing with, you know, the Dodgers and now the Padres every year. You know, who knows we'll see what the Padres are going to do. I heard rumor the other day they're trying to trade Bogarts. So, you know, they may be doing some retooling. Jackson Profar is a free agent. So, you know, Tanner Scott's a free agent. So they got some roster moves to make, too.
CC Sabathia joining us here on the River Islands guest line. Spadoni and Ludman in for Bonte and Chasky here on the Morning Roast. And CC, a guy that has made his bones in Milwaukee, like yourself did for a hot second, is Corbin Burnes. That's a big name right now. He's been linked to the Giants in recent reports. How do you feel him, A, as a pitcher, and B, do you see him as a fit here in San Francisco?
Corbin Burnes?
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah, I love Corbin, man. I've been knowing him, Corbin, for, you know, a couple years now, just getting a chance to chop it up with him and, you know, talk pitching. I think, yeah, like I said, I mean, I think San Francisco is always a huge market, especially for frontline starters. You know, I think he's a guy that, you know, can, you know, he hits all four quadrants of the strike zone. He, you know, to me, he's, you know, this generation's, you know, Doc Holliday, the way he can manipulate the ball both sides of the plate. You know, so I think, you know, I'm excited to see where he lands. And I think, yeah, I think it'll be huge if he can end up in San Francisco. I think that turns everything around. And, you know, for sure, after losing Blake Snell.
Yeah, talking to CC Sabathia here on the Morning Roast, former Yankees pitcher, Brewers, played in Cleveland for a while, won a World Series with the Yankees. But I do want to, I got a Yankee-related here question here, CC, because you were once courted by the Pinstripes. They sat down, they offered you a contract, and you said yes to that contract and obviously won a ring, and the rest is history after that. The other week, though, we saw one of the bigger names in free agency spurn the Yankees, and I'm talking about, of course, Juan Soto, spurning a big-money deal from the Yankees to go and join the New York Mets. He said the New York is a Mets town now, and it always has been. I'm curious, as someone who went through the free agency process, was recruited by the Yankees, said yes to the Yankees, what were your thoughts of when you saw Juan Soto, you know, basically go to the team that for years a lot of people kind of looked as the number two team in New York, in the New York Mets, rather than, you know, do what you did and go to the New York Yankees?
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, he has every right to feel the way he wants to feel. I mean, you know, playing here in New York, though, and I think, everybody knows that, you know, this town is, you know, ran by the Pinstripes and ran by the Bronx. I mean, he had a great year in New York last year, and I think he always wanted to be a Met. You know, I think, you know, you got to take into account where guys always want to go. I liken it to when KD left OKC and came to the Bay. I mean, he always wanted to play for the Warriors. You know, knowing him and having a chance to talk to him before he even made that move, like, that was a move that I wasn't surprised that he was going to make. So it's kind of the same thing with Juan, where, you know, you kind of got the feel throughout the year that, you know, Queens is a place that he wanted to play. He always talked about how well he played in New York, hadn't played in Yankee Stadium, you know, that much. And so it was all about Citi Field. And I'm excited for him. I think it's great that, you know, he's, you know, headlining, you know, in Queens. I think him and Lindor are going to be, you know, awesome over there. I went to a couple of playoff games over there. And the vibe is great. You know, I think it's going to be a lot of fun for them, for those two to get together. I do think that they may need to sign another hitter, somebody to protect them, maybe a starter or two. You know, so that roster, you know, even though they've, you know, spent close to $1 billion already on one player, still needs some retooling to, you know, get back to even where they were last year. I mean, they struggled last year at the beginning. They had a, you know, tough sledding. They got hot at the end, made the playoffs, made it to the NLCS, but you know, even just to have a, you know, a good season next year and try to win a division, I think they got to do some retooling to that roster too.
Talking with CC Sabathia, who's going to be taking a part in the Celebrity Pickleball Bash here in San Francisco Saturday, February 15th and Sunday, February 16th at the iconic Warfield Theater. You can buy tickets now at celebritypickleballbash.com. Sam Lubman, your thoughts on what CC just had to say?
No, I think that's really interesting there. Just, I mean, obviously the whole deal with Juan, I thought it was interesting. The family suite being a deal breaker for him, I thought was kind of an interesting. But yeah, you're right, CC, it is his decision at the end of the day. But I'm kind of curious, though, when it comes to free agency recruiting, as a player, what do you remember from that offseason back before the 2009 season when the Yankees came to you and made the pitch to you? What was it like getting recruited by them? What was their pitch like to you? And what was the moment where you realized, like, the best thing for my career will be donning the pinstripes?
I think, you know, for me, just, you know, want a chance to win every year. You know, that was something that was super important to me. And, you know, I think if you have a chance to go into free agency and you're getting courted by teams, I think if winning is important to you and you feel like, you know, winning is something that, you know, you want to do and it's important in your career, there's no way you can turn down the Yankees. Every year they're putting a team out there that's trying to win the World Series. You know, there's never a year where we're, you know, rebuilding or taking a step back or anything like that. Everything is full-fledged, trying to win the World Series every season. And that's what was the most appealing to me. You know, some people, you know, talk about wanting to win and, you know, it being the most important thing, but, you know, when it comes down to it and you know, you look around the league, it's only really one place to go to have that opportunity every single year, and that's in the Bronx.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, no team sells the idea of winning better than the Yankees with their history, but obviously.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
CeCe, you were the top free agent that offseason. I remember following your free agency a lot, but what were the other teams that I think were the hardest, went the hardest in recruiting you, and was there a team that almost, I guess, kind of push the Yankees off that top pedestal? I guess who came in second, I guess, in your eyes to signing you that offseason?
Probably would have been Anaheim. It would have been Anaheim. They came in, made a strong offer. But, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, you know, wanting to win and have a chance to win every single year, year in and year out. And I end up, you know, I signed a 7-year deal, end up staying here for 11 years. With opportunity, you know, I played deep in the playoffs pretty much every single year I was here. But that free agency, the next, you know, highest offer would have been from Anaheim.
Talking with CeCe Sabathia here, Cy Young Award winner, World Series champion, and in my opinion, a Hall of Famer. CeCe, I wonder if that's something that you think about one day, eventually hearing your name and going to Cooperstown and being a part of a Hall of Fame class. Is that something that you think about, like, cognizant, or is in the back of your mind? Or are you saying, you know what, I've won a World Series, I've won a Cy Young, that's good enough for me? What are your thoughts on that in the Hall of Fame process? Because you're going to become eligible here.
I'm eligible this year.
Yep.
This is my first year eligible on the ballot. I'm excited. I mean, I would love to go into the Hall of Fame. I think there's something, you know, I didn't play for, you know, going to the Hall of Fame. I always played to, you know, make my family proud, my city proud, and, you know, really to get out of Vallejo. But to have my career be considered a Hall of Fame career is special. You know, hopefully one day it happens. When, you know, doesn't, it can happen at any time, you know, and I'll be super excited about it. It's something that I do think about. You know, now that you're done playing, you know, you get a chance to sit back and kind of reflect on the things you did and, you know, be a fan. And I think it'll be exciting and super cool to one day go into the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. Here, I want to do a quick rapid fire with you. You've been so good to us here before we say goodbye. I know, and I'm looking at your Insta, I'm looking at your Twitter. You're a big Halloween guy. Are you as big of a Christmas guy, though, as a Halloween guy? Because I'm a big Christmas guy. Halloween's okay. And maybe we can split the difference. Maybe our favorite movie could both be A Nightmare Before Christmas. Am I right?
I think, you know, having 4 kids and, you know, having a big family, you got to be a big holiday guy. So, you know, Halloween, Christmas, Thanksgiving are, you know, traditional baseball off-season holidays and things that we can celebrate, you know, Memorial Day, you know, 4th of July, all those different, you know, Labor Day. We are the entertainment. So, you know, I think if you ask any baseball player what their favorite holiday would be, it would probably be Thanksgiving or Christmas, and no different in this family.
CeCe, being that you're a local guy here from Vallejo, I've seen you at Warrior games in the past. I'm pretty sure you're still, as a Warrior fan, I know you're still locked in on the Dubs, right?
Yeah. I just haven't been to the new arena. I haven't yet been to the new arena in San Francisco.
Oh, we gotta
still
get him out.
We gotta
there.
Get you down to Chase.
Still at Oracle, so we'll see.
Raymond Ritter, if you're listening,
we're filling in
make
for the king of the Bay Area sports media right now, Bonte Hill, who does pre and post game coverage for NBC Sports Bay Area. I'm sure
we'll talk.
He can hook it up there.
Bonte could probably make it happen.
Absolutely.
But I'm kind of curious. CeCe's a lot going on with the Dubs right now. Obviously, Steph Curry. The conversations we've been having this morning, is Steph still, you know, a legitimate number one? Thoughts on Dennis Schroeder? What's the next move? I was making the case that the Warriors should go get Zion Williamson. I know that's a lot I'm throwing at you right now, but your thoughts on Dennis Schroeder, your thoughts on Steph, and what's next for the Warriors right now? Where are you at right now on the Dubs?
No, I think Steph can still be a number one. I think, you know, you look at what he did over the summer in the Olympics. I mean, he, you know, those last two games, it's incredible. So I think for, you know, but I definitely think he needs a sidekick. I think he needs somebody else to alleviate some of the scoring and, you know, some of the running around that he can do and have him fresh for, you know, April for the playoff run. So, yeah, I mean, Zion, I mean, Jimmy Butler, I heard, would be great. I mean, you know, making a move for one of these, you know, other superstar, you know, kind of number ones that would help, Steph kind of with that pressure, I think would be huge.
All right, one last one here, CeCe. I know you're a big-time Raider fan. Hasn't been a great season. 2-11
here. I mean, it's been a great season, though. We got Shador on the way, hopefully.
There it is. He gets it. You want Shador?
Yeah.
You're talking to a big Raider fan in Spadoni here, CeCe.
I don't need them to win these next two games, man. I know it's going to be hard to lose in Jacksonville, but I don't need them to win these next two games, and then we end up 4-13, and then we have the fifth pick. Oh, that'd be the worst thing.
Oh, CeCe, I almost fainted if they completed that Hail Mary on Monday Night Football. They would have gone with the number one overall pick to number 7, and that would have been coal in my stocking at that point. Just keep starting Desmond Ridder. They'll lose these next three games. That's a fact. But you're in on Shador over Cam Ward, huh?
Oh, I'm in on Shador, and I've been to Colorado to see him twice. I went down last year. I saw him against USC, and then I went this year against Kansas State, and I love him. I mean, I went to go watch him play against Caleb Williams. He made every throw that Caleb can make. Every throw. He was just as good. So I'm excited, and like I said, hopefully we can pull this off. And the buzz around here, though, is that the Giants are looking to tank one more year and try to get Arch. So I think we might be in the clear if that happens.
Hey, you're preaching to the choir, brother. Hey, CeCe, we appreciate the time, man.
Thank you very much, CeCe.
Check him out at the Warfield Theater for the Celebrity Pickleball Bash in San Francisco, Saturday, February 15th and Sunday, February 16th. Buy tickets now at celebritypickleballbash.com. CeCe, appreciate the time, man.
No problem, fellas. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good one, CeCe.
Hey, Cy Young winner, World Series champion. And he said it right there, baby. He wants Shador. The
slide for Shador.
Huge. Huge.
Got so happy when he gets said that. It. You guys are in lockstep.
He gets it. That's
dogging Cam Ward a little bit there.
It's very difficult as we just take a macro view of just being a sports fan and the Niners having a bad season. It could just be so much worse, though. You could be in tank mode, having one win. Imagine rooting against your team. You never want to have to do that. In some scenarios, like if you're a Raiders or a Giants fan, that is plausible because what a guy like Shador or a Cam Ward could change your future.
Yeah. I never really liked the concept of rooting against your team, Spadoni. The first time I ever encountered it was my freshman year at the University of Miami when I'm on a floor with a bunch of Dolphins fans, and that's when I first heard the term suck for Luck in regards to then Stanford quarterback Andrew Luck, who obviously had a very good career with the Indianapolis Colts after being the number one pick there. I never really liked it, but yeah, it does make sense. And that's interesting, though, what CeCe said about the Giants wanting to go for Arch Manning. They've had success with a Manning before, so that makes sense. And be interesting to see where Cam Ward drops there. I don't want Cam Ward to go to New York. That just seems like such a
disaster,
a gross, messy situation there. I want Cam to go somewhere where he can actually have success in the NFL. And the Giants, they're probably going to be pivoting off of Brian Daboll soon, so that would be good there. But man, Shador on the Raiders would be so cool.
We just had CeCe on, and listen, you're a part of Garlic Fries and Baseball Guys. You and Joe Shasky doing a hell of a job in Odyssey podcast. You can find that wherever you find your podcasts. New episode this week? Last week?
Yeah, no, we got to figure that out.
In the holiday season,
Shasky's got 9 million things going on. I have 2.5 things going on, so.
Fair enough. But I would like your thoughts here. We got a couple minutes left to go before we hit Fast Five. Your thoughts on Willie Adames signing with the San Francisco Giants. Has it been a successful offseason? The pivot from Farhan Zaidi, who had some interesting comments, on fair territory with Ken Rosenthal. And, Buster Posey taking over, Sam Lubman. Your thoughts so far on these last few months with the San Francisco Giants and the orange and black?
Oh, no, my emotion's gone very up and down with the Giants this offseason. So the first month and a half of Buster was very quiet. I'm starting to wonder, are the Giants just kind of take a reevaluation stance this year? And then they signed Willie Adames, and it changed everything. And the question, we were talking earlier in the show how, I got the second question in at that presser. And, the question, was to Adames was, about, what appealed about the future of this team. And he talked about the young players. Obviously, the Giants do have some good young players coming up, not just Bryce Eldridge, but Elliot Ramos showed a lot of promise. Tyler Fitzgerald showed some promise as a younger piece there. Grant McCray showed some interesting stuff, I thought. But the other question I asked later on in that presser for Buster Posey was in regards to and you asked CC about this, the perception of the organization. And Buster's comments was just, it remains to be seen. The Willie Adames, it's a good first step, but, you got to build on it. I caught up with Zach Minajian, the general manager, after the
after the presser, and I asked him basically that same question. You know, is the perception changing?
Is it Manasian or Manasian?
Rizzo?
Come on. Come on, Steve.
It's Manasian.
Manasian.
All right, we both failed there.
There you go. That's fine.
Mispronunciation of the year. So I talked with Zach Manasian, and yeah, he obviously talked about how, you know, there's a lot of pride there in that building about representing the city of San Francisco. I even talked with the president CEO, Larry Baer, asked him, what's this do for the perception?
These drops are out of control.
That's what happens at these pressers. It's never about the presser. It's about the presser after the presser. That's how it is there.
Yeah.
And he kind of echoed the same thing. You know, it's a good first step, but there is some things that remain to be seen. And so that's kind of why I asked CC, you know, is when a guy like Adamus signs, does that kind of start an avalanche to where, oh, well, he signed, so now someone else will sign? And I guess you can even make the argument, as I'm talking out loud here, that Matt Chapman probably kicked off that avalanche there, because how often does a Scott Boras client hit free agency? Does not happen very often. So as far as the perception here and just everything we've learned about Farhan Zaidi throughout the years and the energy that Buster Posey is bringing to the building, here I think this represents it perfectly. Like, from all the what the streets are saying, is that Farhan Zaidi was not liked behind the scenes. He was not fun to work with. He was hard on his employees. He could be very standoffish, very hard to talk to. Just didn't play the role of president of baseball operations correctly.
He wasn't the leader.
Yeah,
he did not have leadership quality.
Whereas Manasian, you know, he's loved in that organization. He's loved in that front office. So right off the bat, you have a better attitude, a better culture there. You have a guy in Buster Posey who has that gravitas, who has that credibility there, and it just it completely changes the direction of the organization. But more importantly, as we're talking about perception, that is what's changing a lot, is that perception. The Giants, they feel like they're a big league team again. Like, when under Farhan Zaidi, it seemed like they were just trying to nickel and dime this stuff together, and
player options.
Exactly.
I was shocked when I didn't see one player option on Willie Adames' contract.
The player option era is over for the San Francisco Giants. And so, yeah, it's a new attitude now down at 3rd and King Street. I mean, Steven, you were there as well. Would you echo that?
Yeah, no, it's a completely different vibe. I mean, there's a lot of people in the organization that think it's going to go back to kind of the nostalgic, but also a side of moving forward. Like, they're going to move forward with Buster Posey, and I think there's some high energy about that. And at the press conference, it was so noticeable. I mean, we talked about it after. There's a lot of people that came up to us and said, this is a different feeling. And I think Buster brings that. He brings a face to the franchise that wasn't there when Farhan was there. And it's almost like a completely different animal going into 2025.
Farhan Zaidi, by the way, the guy that has been replaced by Buster Posey, the guy that has been forefront of anger from all the Giants fans.
The Giants are still going to be hearing for quite a while, unfortunately, for Giants fans.
Well, Farhan's cooked.
He spoke with one Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic on his podcast, Fair Territory. And you know what he blames for missing out on Aaron Judge during the Aaron Judge sweepstakes? He blames John Heyman.
I would think that if we had him, I would be the first to know. So I knew it was false, and I was not happy about it at all. John Heyman, and told him to take it down immediately, because, you know, our whole strategy with that situation was, let's just stay around the backboard. He's got a lot of allegiance to the Yankees, but, you know, they seemed like they had reached an impasse in negotiations, and it was a question of whether the Yankees were going to take that next last step to get the deal done, or whether there'd be an opportunity for somebody else. So we were kind of right in that window where I thought there might be an opening for us to get the deal done. Then John sent that tweet out, and honestly, I mean, and Yankees people will tell you, it really spooked them into getting the deal done, adding the ninth year. So I blame John. I mean, that's and I've had this conversation with John. I've joked with him. But, you know, there is a general point here about being in a front office, which is, you know, you're thinking about a deal, and then when you read something on the internet or you hear something and you think you might lose that deal, it's amazing. You think you're at your limit, but when you hear you might be losing a player or a deal, you have one extra year to get it done. And that's a lesson that I've learned. I've been in that position, and I think New York was in that position. I think in the moment they thought they'd lost him, and it gave them a little more motivation to, you know, add what they needed to do to get that deal done. And it got done that night.
I can't even believe you said that.
Two things there. Number one, Farhan's not completely crazy when he says the Arson Judge tweet kind of spurned the Yankees into action. Like, that's been documented, and the Yankees kind of had this you-don't-know-what-you-got-till-it's-gone moment, and then they got second life when they found out the deal wasn't completed. So I do believe Farhan is right there. Where Farhan is incorrect to really truly blame the John Heyman tweet is that it's what he said. You know, there was an impasse in those negotiations. There was a standoff. They talks were dying, whatever you want to call it. And you had an opportunity to get the deal done. And you didn't finish it. You didn't have that killer instinct. You didn't close. So you're acknowledging in real, like right in that clip, you're acknowledging, Farhan, that there was an opening for you to go in and close the deal on Aaron Judge. Almost call him Aaron Rodgers again. There was a chance to close that deal, and you sat around. You didn't get it done. That's why it came. That's why the Yankees were able to finish it. That's why they were able to see that tweet, realize the error of their ways, and get this all done. That said, I still believe to this day that Aaron Judge was never going to be a Giant. He was absolutely using the Giants as a sucker to get more money out of the Yankees. But for Farhan to say, oh yeah, it was the John Heyman tweet, my guess is that he was tongue-in-cheek with that one. Shout out to Yo. But even still, like, you don't get to be tongue-in-cheek on that one. You failed to get the job done. You failed to get the job done numerous times. You know, you couldn't get Bryce Harper to sign. You dropped the ball on Carlos Correa. The fact of the matter is, Farhan, you could say you learned whatever you want. At the end of the day, you know, some people, Tony dropped off, some people just aren't in the zone. And Farhan, you were not in the zone. You were like Kyle Shanahan.
He ruined your zone.
Thank you, Tony. Fast Five.
It's time for the Xfinity Fast Five. Your last chance to get in on the morning roast. Brought to you by Xfinity.
Supercharge
your home with supersonic Wi-Fi. Unbeatable internet. Only from Xfinity.
Oh, John Heyman drop will never get old. It is time for the Xfinity Fast Five, where we give our final thoughts on the show. Brought to you by the Next Generation 10G Network. Only from Xfinity. The future starts now. Sam Lubman, I felt like that was your final thought on the Farhan era, or error, some might say. But what else you got, bud?
Yeah, no, my final thought is, man, tough luck for the Cal Bears last night.
God.
You know, tough loss in the Art of Sport LA Bowl hosted by Gronk. It's fun seeing Gronk on the sideline, I guess, but some really cool plays from that game last night. UNLV ran what I consider to be one of the coolest fake punts I think I've ever seen. The punter got the ball, and rather than throwing it or running it, he pitched it over the line of scrimmage to the gunner running a slant from to the left side of the field there. A really cool play to help set up a touchdown, but that was a really tough matchup for Cal. They're, I think, a little bit better than that 6-6 record would indicate. They did not have their quarterback in Fernando Mendoza, who was probably going to be a Miami Hurricane next year. And, you know, they're going against a very, very good UNLV team. So the fact that Cal, with their second and third string quarterbacks, was able to scrap with the Rebels as hard as they were able to is good. But Cal football, man, hopefully they could bounce back, have a bit of a better year next year. If they had figured it, if they had held on against Miami that hot October night, it would have been such a different season for the Bears. But as anyone who has watched Cal football for any period of time, especially someone like me who's been watching Cal football their whole life, kind of par for the course for the Bears, unfortunately.
It's the Bears, one might say.
It
Chicago
is the Bears,
or Cal Berkeley. Yeah. It's the same thing when it
Cal
comes
Bears,
to the football
program. As my dad and I say, they break your heart. We do this thing where, you know, when Cal's making you hopeful, you like hold your hand out and kind of pretend like you're holding the beating heart, because that's what Cal football does. They rip your heart out, they let it beat for a while.
Temple of Doom.
And then they smash it. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Kalima.
There you
Cal
go.
Cal Lima.
Not bad.
All right, I need to get out of
Steven,
here.
Steven, Risotto, what you got, bud?
Well, first of all, good job, guys, for filling in. We got the A-team in there.
Oh, no, it's good job, Steven Risotto, for filling in. First time running the board in the morning. That is not an easy job to do, as I do a Joe Shasky and interrupt you. Continue.
I gave you $20 to say that, by the way. I just want to say shout-out to CeCe Sabathia for joining us. And I do want to say, CeCe Sabathia, right now, there is the Hall of Fame tracking. Ryan Thibodeau, not Mr. Tibbs on Twitter, does a fantastic job, and as of one day ago, guys, he was polling at 26 out of the 28 ballots had CeCe Sabathia's name checked off.
Ooh.
So, I mean, we throw around the term first ballot Hall of Famer. It is looking like CeCe Sabathia might be on that track.
Which is kind of crazy, to be honest, because if you look, like, listen, you just look at the accolades, like, six-time All-Star? That's not that many. You've got a World Series, you've got one Cy Young, and he has the ALCS MVP.
Four other top five finishes, though.
Some of those strikeout numbers, like the strikeout numbers,
he has 3,000.
In the innings, like, if you look at
250 wins,
250. Yes. If you look at where he ranks among the history of left-handed pitching, he ranks pretty favorably. Okay. You'd be surprised.
It's just that I honestly, I'm so jaded on the entire Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. I don't know like what they want anymore. It's too inclusive. They don't like it. Of all the three major sports, and I'm going to exclude hockey here because I'm just not well-versed in the Hockey Hall of Fame, but when it comes to the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, Major League Baseball, and NFL, it's NFL gets it the best. They just get it when it comes to who should be in the Hall of Fame and who isn't. Then it's basketball, because for me, basketball just is...
They kind of give it to everybody.
But most,
I like how they include the entire sport, too.
Most people... Like
men's and women.
Most people should be in there that are in there, so I don't really have too much calls about it. But baseball, it is just so...
It has no credibility
with me. No! It's like one or two people, and it's just like, really? That's what we're doing here? And the fact that like guys like Barry Bonds, we do this every year, but Barry Bonds, Alex Rodriguez, Mark McGwire, Roger Clemens, like, come on. Like,
it's ridiculous.
If those guys aren't
it's,
in.
It's a shame. It's embarrassing.
It really is. My final thought here, shout out CeCe's the Bathroom. He's just great energy. Great interview, too. I've never listened to him as a radio person and interviewing him myself. Great energy. Very knowledgeable. He knows his stuff. And just tank, baby. Let's go get Shador. Those are my final thoughts. And that was Fast 5 brought to you by Xfinity. At home or on the go, you'll get the fastest internet to all of your devices. And Steiny and Goot coming up next. Have a good morning, everybody.